Last week we talked about not being afraid of the dark. You know, in these times, it feels like the United States, our world, is in some form of peril, spiraling out of control into a darkness. And I stated last week that many of you are coming to me and asking, how do we come out of this and why is it so dark? And I have to tell you, it isn't just here in Albany. I have meetings with ministers within the New York and all around, and we're all going through it. From east to west, north and south, we're all feeling it. And yet, we all have an opportunity to rise spiritually. That is one of the reasons why don't be afraid of the dark. And one of the things I talked about, because everything is of God. And I know that seems strange when we have wars, when we have this. But God created everything on this earth and is under our dominion. We can use all the powers, and we do use all the powers, the creative powers of God that God has ordained us to use. And it is truly up to us to use it in correct ways or non-correct ways. It is our choice whether we choose to fear, use fear in an inappropriate way, i.e. an appropriate way of fear. Oh, I'm standing on a cliff without any harness here. I'm going to be a little afraid, rightfully so, because I could peril. I could die. That's the kind of right fear that you kind of want to make sure that you check yourself. But the fear that we're going through that seems to be hurling through our senses, that continue to create more darkness because dark creates dark, just like light creates light. And so we go into these conversations not to fear the dark, but to see it as a point, a pivotal point to our evolution. For it is when we find ourselves in the dark, when all of our stuff, all of our muck, all of our mire is coming up, when our ego says, no, I'm not having you change anything. I like it like this. I like living in fear. I like being in turmoil. I like control. And you're saying, no, I want to go higher. I want to be evolved. I want to have a more spiritual experience of happiness. This is when you find that the darkness, that the shadow comes up. Because who wants to be put away, pushed aside? Definitely not the ego that believes it has complete and total and utter control over you. But when you create a sense of self that says, I am going to be here for God, and I'm going to evolve so that we have war no more, that we come from more heart and less attack, then you will find and you will welcome the darkness, because this is our opportunity to see it for what it is. Nothing to be fearful of, nothing to hide away from, nothing to run away from, but something to face. In the knowing that if it's come up to be healed. And if it's coming, that the shore of greatness is one step away. If we choose not to stick in the muck and mire of the darkness, if we choose not to try to hide and run back the other way, but if we choose to go forward, then we will find peace and harmony. Which is why today we're talking about peace within the darkness, because after last week's talk, it was like, okay, I can get with darkness and light are the different sides of the coin. Okay, I get that. And yeah, darkness is my choice just as light is my choice. But when we're in it, how do we get out of it? Well, I tell you, peace. Peace is obviously a beautiful thing, and it's a spiritual evolvement. And most of the time, you will find people saying that peace, you find peace, especially since I'm a Buddhist. I'm a Buddhist nun. The best way to peace is through prayer and meditation. And that is true. The best way we can get to peace is prayer and meditation. But too many times, especially in these days, I think we use prayer and meditation as an escapism. No longer wanting to face. It's one thing, and I as a Buddhist, it's one thing to go into an ashram. It's one thing to go into a monastery and sit there and pray for peace. It's a beautiful thing, but I'm giving you peace as a form of activism. Because peace is truly a choice. And you can't get peace unless you are peace. You can't have joy unless you are joy. And you can't have light unless you continue to pursue the being of that which you truly are, which is light. And that takes action. Yes, the prayer and the meditation helps you calm yourself in the moment so that what can you do after that? You can then step into being that. But we can't use prayer and meditation just to get away. It has to be a place in which we go to so that we connect with God to ask, how do we find peace? And how do we continue to manifest peace? So I go back to the scripture. Last week I talked about how the positiva, the negativa, the creativa, and the transformativa are our aspects of evolution. Positiva, obviously, is that we enjoy life. We love it. We're in awe of it. It's when we first get our first spiritual awakening. It's like, life is really great. And as soon as we say that, then we kind of go into the negativa, because once the light kind of pours up, the darkness kind of doesn't like to move out of the way. And we need that negativa as a part of evolution. And once we break through that negativa, then we have a sense of creation. Being able to create the world that we want, the world that we know that God wants us to have. And once we do that, then we can transform. We can take ourselves and then transform the world. Ultimately, that is what I'm saying that this ministry, each and every one of us, we are moving to. That is my march with each and every one of us, is that we all move to a place where we are not only love, light, and peace, but that we can lift Albany, we can lift New York, and we can be the proponents of peace on this earth. Oh, I feel like, how am I going to do that? Me? All by myself? Yes. Again, your world starts with you. And it starts with you making a decision that, yes, I choose to be the Christed one that Jesus continues to want us to be. I choose to be that which he tried to show the disciples, tell the disciples to teach all of us. I choose to live in joy. I choose to refuse to live in anything other than peace. And how do you do that? How do you do that when you go to work on Monday and the people that you just get on your nerves walk right up to you and start saying something that you know is going to irritate you? How do you do that when you go home? Maybe your partners are here and you leave out hand in hand, and then one partner does something that irritates the other. How do you be that when you're ready to be at odds with the world? Well, you won't. How you be that is by choosing not to argue, choosing that you don't have to be right, but that you want to have peace. Because really, being right, unless we're talking about scientific formula, and that's elusive at times, is an illusion. You know, you might be right in your own mindset. That doesn't mean that I have to be right with my own mindset. I might call that gentleman's color way in the back a deep navy blue, and you might go, Crystal, no, that's not a deep navy blue, that's a blue. And we can fight over it. No, that's a navy blue. No, it's just an indigo blue. Nonsense, of which we fight over and over. And I can go and get a color swatch book and place it on him, and you can get your own color swatch book and place it on. See how nonsensical it is? And most of our arguments are that nonsensical. And the reality is, and especially since I was in advertising, the various colors and shades of blue have a multitude of colors that are the same blue. But do you want to be right, or do you want to have peace? Peace is a form of action that will only elude you if you want to stay in the darkness, and if you think the darkness is correct. And that's where most of us in this world are lying at right now. Because we see with our eyes, we hear it with our ears on the news, we read it with our eyes in the newspaper, we see victims all the time, we see robbery, we see darkness all over the world. And you say to me, Crystal, how can you say I can't choose to see this? Because that's all of the world. Well, I'm here to tell you with a firmness, 1,000%, that is not all of the world. Just because CNN, just because we have a plethora of news organizations speaking and talking about the darkness doesn't mean it's all over the world. If you want to take a poll, I would advise you then to take a weekend, look at all of them to see how many different stories of plight there are. And you will find that in a quickness that they are saying the same story over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it continues to bring forth this thought that, oh my God, the world is coming to an end and there is darkness. But how can you fit into this? By not falling into the trap that the world is darkness. By choosing to see the light where light is, and to choosing to believe that where there is darkness, know that light was there before. And if light was there before, light will and can re-enter into all the spots that are at war, including within yourself. Most importantly, within yourself. There's a basic teaching within Unity that says, and it's a song. Sometimes we sing it here. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin. Yes. It has to begin inward. Because we learn that our minds and our thought create our reality. And if our minds and thoughts continue to create a reality of darkness, then what do you call forth as a creator? What do you create? Excuse me? Yes. That's plain and simple. If you look for something that is lost, most likely you will find it. So why do we do this over and over and over again? We already know what the principles say. We already see and have our own testimonies. If we continue to look for the darkness, darkness evolves within our life. It's time to look at the light. Last week I talked about how Jesus, while he was in this great sense of awe after he was baptized, the short version of the story is, if you weren't here last week, that Jesus and his favorite cousin, John, they were at a river, at a lake, and Jesus said, dude, I like you so much, I think you are it, I want you to baptize me. And so John's saying, no, you're the man, but I will do it anyway. So John baptized Jesus, and then the dove came out. The Holy Spirit came to Jesus, and he heard his father say, oh man, Jesus, I love you. You're the best. You are the son, my son, and I love you. Now, who couldn't just be skipping for joy after that? That is the positiva. The negativa was that as soon as he did that, he went into a time where he had peril. He went into a time of temptation. And so I stopped there. Because we are in a time of temptation. All of us are in a time of temptation in the dark. And each and every one of the perils of Jesus, he did something. But let me go back and remind you what the perils were. He went into a time, 40 days of purification. And during this time, the devil came to him. We learned that we metaphysically interpret the devil as ourself, the unlightened self, the self that has our mind kind of going in circles, our ego going out of control, is deemed the devil. We can look at the cartoons and you have the angel you and the devil you. And so, yes, we teach that while Jesus was going through this time, his little devil ego was going at him, right? Saying, if you are the stuff that you were just told while the Holy Spirit came upon you, then all these stones, turn them into bread. If you and the Father are one, if you are the Son of God, you can do that and you won't be hungry anymore. The second one was that he was taken to the highest pinnacle of the temple, the highest point of the temple. And the devil within him said, you know what? If you are the Son of God, you can jump off of this high temple and you will not be harmed because the angels will come and sweep you and allow you to land gently on the ground. The third testament was that he was placed on a high mountain. And he said, you know, look all around you. At this point in time, it was believed that all the world could be seen from this mountain. Everything that you see, all the riches of the land, everything that I have is yours if you bow to me. Each and every time, and we go to the scriptures of how do we get past this, it's very easy to get beyond it. It's very simple, easy, if we choose it to be. Each and every moment, all Jesus did was to rebuke the devil. All he did was say, you know, you're not real. You're not real. And what you're telling me is real. And then turning his focus on, but God is real. I can turn these stones into bread. Okay, my mind is playing tricks on me. That I'm not going to use my power that way. God's got me. I'm on the highest pinnacle. We've always been in these locations where we've been on a pinnacle, where we feel like we're about to fall, where we feel like we're at death's door. Know that you are not. Know that all you have to do is shut that mind off, shut that devil down and say, no, hold up. If I believe the truths that continue to be spoken to me, God is with me at all times. God is not somewhere in some far distant land. God is right here with me. I put you aside and I open my heart, my mind, my soul to you so that I can hear you, God, to tell me what I need to do. I will give you all the riches of the land. Haven't you been there before? Oh, if I win the lottery, if I do this, if I do that, who do I need to bow down to get the money to pay the rent? What do I need to do to get my car fixed? What do I? I will do anything to be able to get these things done. How many of us have said that? I'll do anything to get something done. Oh, watch your words. Because the peace isn't in the anything, but it's in the all. It's in the allness of God. Your mind is pivotal. In that split second, you can make a decision. Am I going to have fear of the darkness? Or am I going to believe in the light, knowing that even in the darkest cave at some point in time, our eyes will adjust and light will appear? Even in the darkest moments, and you have your own testimony. I bet you if I asked each and every one of you to stand and told me what your darkest hours were, that you could tell me how you got out of it, how God got you out of it, how there was some small or large miracle that allowed you to move forward out of this trial and tribulation. But too many people today don't go to that light. They stay in that dark. But the choice is yours, whether you want to stay within that or to allow peace to be with you. And not just to talk about peace. We can't just talk about peace. We can't just stay in our seated meditative positions and go, and then come out of it and not be transformed and not be in action of peace. No, once you come centered, once you come from your retreat, once you come from that place that has brought you center again, it's not a matter of being centered for that moment, for that weekend, for that second, for that hour. It's about being that so that you can be the transformation of darkness into light. It is going there so that you can recenter, so that you can be the transformativa, so that you, each and every one of you, can be the light to show the way to other people who remain in the dark. Peace in darkness means not believing in the darkness. Yes, I understand the facts that when you're in the dark, it's the dark. It is painful. Jesus felt the pain, but did he allow the pain to get him down? And once everything was over with, once he rebuked his thoughts that continued to roll in him, he released and let it go. You know, there's a part in the Bible that is Mark 6:47, 49, and 51. And it talks about the disciples in the boat in the storm. And the disciples left without Jesus, and Jesus was on the shore. And the disciples, can you imagine being on a small boat and a storm is whirling about? And the clouds are there and there's thunder and lightning. And Jesus saw them way out, and there's no boat around. So what did he decide to do? He decided to walk on water. And when he walked towards the boat, the disciples saw him, thinking he was a ghost, and they were scared. They started screaming, "Oh my God!" And he said, "Hold on, hold on." Of course, this is Crystal's version of it. He said, "Hold on, hold on. It is me. It is Jesus. Don't be scared. It's all right." And then as soon as he got into the boat, settled in, the storm and the winds were calm. Metaphysically, what that means is that our faculties, our emotions, and there's 12 powers that the disciples represent. There's faith, which Peter represents, strength that James represents, love that John represents, power, and notice power of the spoken word, which is why unity is all about the word and power, which is Philip. Our imagination is Bartholomew. Understanding, Thomas, Will, Matthew. Order, James the Younger, brother of Thaddeus. Renunciation, Thaddeus, Zeal, Simon, and life. So note that these spiritual components of you, these faculties that are there within each and every one of us to allow us to spiritually evolve, once they go awry, they really go awry. So find yourself in the sea, and the sea represents untamed thoughts. Especially in a storm with untamed thoughts, you are in like some real trouble. You're in dire straits. So think about your faith now is afraid. Your will is gone. Your imagination is going all over the place. Your power, the spoken words, you're talking things that you wouldn't normally talk about. Your strength is weakening. All these faculties are going awry. Haven't we all felt that? In times of darkness, in times of peril, that what little faith that we had seems to be shrinking away. And the reality is, metaphysically, it speaks to, but once we let all that go, that ego talk, that devilish talk go out of our mind and allow the Christ to step in, which is represented by Jesus, all of it, just the wind stops. Everything that is dire seems to subside. All of a sudden, everything that we build up in our mind that continues to make it seem darker and more scary, all of a sudden, peace comes in. And the truth of what is before us allows us to move forward. When we're in peril like this, it allows us to see and hear the answers that are already there. And that's all we have to do. All we have to do is switch off the monkey mind, switch off that chatter, the endless chatter, and go, wait, you know what? Stop. No more. And just say, I allow the Christ to enter in. Why don't we do that? I'm sure there's some chitter chatter going on right now. Just say, stop. You can even go stop in the name of love if you want to. But just say to that chatter, stop. I release you. I allow God to come in me. Yeah. So I leave you with something, a poem that we've all heard, but I'm giving you the full length of it. It's called The Prayer Protection. And we say it each and every, as all Unity churches do. We say the short version. But I invite you, James Dillard Freeman, during World War II, wrote this up for the troops. James Dillard Freeman is a Unity minister. And during World War II, our military was just fraught in world war. There were all kinds of boundaries. Our world was in more peril, believe it or not, than it is right now, because the world was in fighting. And so I want you to just kind of sit back and listen to these words. Half of it you'll recognize, but I don't know why we don't say the following, because it's beautiful. So it says, the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. The mind of God guides us. The life of God flows through us. The power of God abides in us. The joy of God uplifts us. The strength of God renews us. The beauty of God inspires us. Wherever we are, God is. All is well. And if you don't remember anything in this talk, when you're in the darkness, remember, wherever I am, God is. And so, also, if you need some time and need an affirmation, I invite you to go within the bulletin. But let us say this week's affirmation together. The love of God fills my heart with peace and assures me that any situation, God is with me. God is with you. God is within you. God is you. Amen.